If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 5. I also want to say something real quick. For those that don't come to Bible study at 9 o'clock in the morning, I'd like to encourage you to come. We have a great Bible study group. We really do. We dig into the Word of God. And it's a way just to dig a little deeper into God's Word. I mean, we all need the Word. And the Bible study group is really good. Heather does a great job at it. And so I'd just like to encourage all y'all to come. It starts at 9 o'clock in the fellowship hall in the back. So, Luke chapter 5. And if I had to give a title to this message, I'm going to entitle it, Because God Said So. Because God Said So. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let me see. I got to get organized here. Oh, no, this thing is not very good up here. My stuff is just... Yeah. Say, bro, don't hate on me, because yours broke. Don't break mine. Y'all ever went to eat with Dickie? Dickie's a good old boy, isn't he? Dickie's a good dude, man. This church is full of good people. It really is. Amen. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 12. It says, "Now it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, he came and stood by the lake of Gennesaret, which is also the Sea of Galilee. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them, and they were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put a little out from the land. And he sat down, and he taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let the nets down for a catch.' And Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we've worked all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, because you say so, I will let down the nets.' And when they had done this, they caught such a great number of fish that the net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and they filled both the boats, so they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at his knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men.' And when he had brought the boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him." Amen. So we got Peter, James, and John. They're partners in this fishing business, right? With their father Zebedee. They're partners in this fishing business. They've been out all night long catching. Jesus rolls up on the shore. And I want to look at verse 1, because when I read this today, I was just meditating on it, and it just blew me away what God was showing me here. It says in verse 1, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God." I looked at the word pressed. What does the word pressed mean in the Greek language? It means one that is straining or deprived. So what this scripture is saying was, there was these people, and they were under great strain, and they were deprived, and they wanted to hear the word of God. This world today is under great pressure and strain. They're deprived, and guess what they want to hear? They want to hear the word of God. A lot of times we think, oh, they don't want to hear it, but deep down inside themselves, they want to hear it. Do you know why? Because man is not meant to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Think of what Jesus said there. Men shall not live by bread alone. What is bread? Bread is something in the natural. It's a physical thing. But I have to have bread every day to eat. You can tell I have not missed no meals lately. When I wake up in the morning, you don't have to remind me to eat breakfast. At noontime, you don't have to remind me to call somewhere and get something to eat. And then at 5 o'clock at night, you don't have to remind me I need to go eat dinner. And when I watch the Astros, you don't have to remind me to go get that bag of chips out and eat the whole bag. You don't have to remind me to do that. I don't need someone to encourage me to do that. I do that willfully because I got to have bread to live. But do I have to be reminded to feed my spiritual soul? He said, man, it's not good enough just for your physical appetite. You got a spiritual nature inside you that needs to be fed. And when it's not fed, guess what? We're deprived. We're depriving ourselves of what God has for us. These people were deprived. They were under great oppression. And all they wanted to do was get some hope. This world needs hope today. This brother that came in this church tonight, he needs to hear some hope. Because right now he's hopeless. This world needs some hope. And the Word of God brings us hope. I want to read something out of Jeremiah real quick. Listen to what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah chapter 15. Listen to this. This is what Jeremiah said. Verse 15, verse 16. This is what he said. Jeremiah 15, 16. Listen to what Jeremiah said. Your word was found, and I ate them. He said, your word was found and I ate them. Your word was to me a joy and a rejoicing of my heart because I am called by your name. In other words, he belonged to God. And he said, when I found this word, you know what I did? I started eating this word. I started to digest this word inside me. Started to get this word inside me. And you know what happened when the word got inside me? It became a joy and it became a delight inside me. It started to give me hope. It started to lift that hopelessness out of me. It started to lift that depression out of me. It started to lift that anger out of me. What it did was it started to give me hope again. We need this word in our life. You know what? God wanted to speak to his people so bad. You know what he did? He took his word and wrapped his word in flesh and came to earth just so he could speak his word to people. Think about that. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. God wanted to speak so bad to his people, he wrapped himself in his flesh and he came to earth. God desires to speak to his people. Amen? So when I was in prison, and I ain't going to hide it, all y'all know I've been there. Amen? I mean, it just is what it is. I used to I'd be in a dormitory, with 58 people in there, right? And there'd be, the door that everybody had to walk through when you came to the dorm, right? And so about 3 o'clock every day, here come the new guys with their mats, and they'd come through the door. And we used to sit back, and as soon as they'd walk through the door, I'd say, man, that one's going to be trouble. That one's going to be, man, look at that dude. That dude's going to be trouble. And you could kind of, judge what they were going to be. And you know what I found out? The ones that I thought were going to be the worst were the ones that were hungry for the Word of God the most. They were hungry for the Word. You know why? Because they were deprived and they were starving inside themselves. And they needed to hear some hope. They needed to hear something different that would change their lives. This world is full of people that need to hear the Word of God. They need the Word. Man, we got our world is going crazy right now. We need to hear the word. Amen? People want to hear the word of God. So we have a mission, and that's to share the word of God. So it says that Jesus, the people were pressing in to hear the word of God. And this is just like Jesus. Look what he does. They heard the word of God, and he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them, and they were washing their nets. So he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put a little out from the land, and he sat down, and he taught the multitude. Amen? Let me tell you something. The Bible says, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and him who knocks the door will be open. These people were seeking, and guess what they did? They found. They found. There's a saying that said, when the student's ready, guess what? The teacher will appear. Let me say that again. There's a saying, when the student's ready, the teacher will appear. Amen. These people were hungry, so Jesus sat down and he started to teach the people. He's called the great teacher. What did Nicodemus say when he showed up on the scene? Anybody know what Nicodemus said? What he said to Jesus? Nicodemus rolls up. First thing he says to Jesus, John chapter 3, verse 2, he says this, "We know that you're a teacher who's come from God. We know you're a teacher. We know you got the word of life in you." Amen? Jesus wants to teach us. He wants to sit down. He wants to teach us. Amen? That's why we're called sheep. Sheep are the dumbest animal there are, they say. Amen? We need to be taught. We need to be taught. But if we have a hunger to learn, God will teach us. People ask me all the time, "Man, how'd you learn the word?" Man, all I did was I had a hunger to learn. God put a hunger in me, and I seeked after it, and God taught me. Amen? He taught me. I'm no different than anybody else. I don't have a great IQ, I guarantee you that. But what I got was a hunger for God, and God gave me his word. Amen? It's no different. I don't care if you're 21 in this audience or if you're 88 years old. God still wants to teach you. There's no point where we get to where I know it all. I can't learn anymore. God is constantly teaching us every day if we're willing to learn. Amen? So God wanted to teach his people. And I'm in trouble because I ain't got no glasses. I wrote some stuff down. I don't want to miss it. It says, so Jesus starts to teach the people. Then he turns around. He stops speaking. And he says to Simon, who's called Peter, he said, launch out into the deep and let the nets down for a catch. One thing I learned about God, every time God's trying to teach me something, he's going to give me an opportunity to put it into practice, what he's teaching me. I don't know what Jesus was teaching them, but whatever it was, it's about time for them to put into practice whatever he was teaching them. God gave me an acronym, and I shared this before, COB, Commandment, Obedient, Blessing. God gives the commandment. It takes obedience to receive the blessing from the commandment. There's a lot of commandments out there with a blessing tied to it. But what keeps us from getting the blessing is the obedience to the commandment. If we're obedient to what God says, we get what God says we're going to get. And a lot of times we're not getting what God says we're going to get because we're not being obedient to what he said. Just like this, given it shall be what? Given. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over to your lap, it'll be given unto you. But the key is, he says, give and it will be given. Amen? Ask and you shall what? Receive. Amen? There's always a contingency on some of the blessings. Some things God just does because he does. He just wants to bless our life and he just does it. But there's other things in the word that are continuous on our obedience to the commandment. And a lot of times if we ask ourselves, well, why ain't this happening in my life? I need to go back and I need to look and say, okay, am I being obedient to what he said? And a lot of times I have to answer that question myself and say, man, you know what? I'm really not being obedient in that area of my life right now. That's why I'm not experiencing the blessing of that. Amen? So God turns around and he tells him, he said, look, man, I want you to launch out into the deep and throw the net for a cast. And Peter turns around and looks at him and says, like, we've been fishing all night long. And we ain't caught nothing. In other words, you know what Peter told him? Peter told him, dude, you're a carpenter. I'm a fisher. You stick to wood, I stick to water. We've been doing this all night long. And there ain't nothing in this water. There ain't nothing in this water. Everything in Peter's experience, past experiences, everything with circumstances, told Peter there was no fish in that water. But you know what Peter said? Peter said these words, nevertheless, because you said so, I'm going to do it. Let me tell you something. I've learned. God's ways are not my ways, and his thoughts are not my thoughts. As heaven's higher than the earth, so are God's thoughts and ways higher than mine. God does not do things the way I do them. He doesn't. God's ways are not my ways. And a lot of times, I'm going to tell you something, it makes no sense to obey what God's saying in the natural. It makes no sense. This last couple of weeks, work has been bad for me. I haven't made what I'm used to making, but my bills are the same. The weather, the heat is killing me right now. Nobody wants to plant anything. The grass looks like it's hay out there. It's brown. I mean, it's hurting me right now. This week, I'm going to pay my tithe. I'm going to do it. But it don't make no sense, God. Why am I going to pay a tithe when I got this bill over here? I mean, defining moment. You going to trust me or you going to trust yourself? Right? I'm just going to say this, that I was obedient to God, and before I could even be obedient, God already blessed me. But there's times in our life where we don't want to trust God because it makes no sense. I mean, it doesn't make sense sometimes. Why should I forgive him, man? You know what that dude did to me? But God says, forgive. I mean, sometimes it makes no sense to trust God. Because it goes totally contrary to what this mind tells me. You know what? Sometimes we got to tell our mind to shut up. For real. Sometimes I got to tell myself, man, shut up. Quit talking to me. I don't want to hear you no more. For real, though. I've got to make a decision. Am I going to think my thoughts or am I going to think God's thoughts? Am I going to do it my way? I'm going to do it God's way. And that's the defining moment that Peter was in right there. They've been out all night fishing. It was already daytime, man. The water was clear. Ain't no fish going to... Man, as soon as they cast that net, the water's gone. The fish are gone. But he had to make a decision. Am I going to trust me or am I going to trust what God says? And you know what Peter said? Because you say so, God. Because you say so. I'm going to let down the net. In other words, God, I'm going to try it one more time. I'm going to cast it one more time, God. How many of us have been believing for something that ain't happened yet, and we're about to give up? I've prayed for him. I'm giving up. I've applied, and it ain't happened. But you know what God says? Man, cast it one more time. Believe one more time. One more time. Try it one more time. You know what I mean? I've been dating lately. Right? I've already dated two girls. And both of them guys are like, nope. It wasn't quick to figure it out. Nope. And I'm like, okay, Lord, forget it. He said, no, just keep trying one more time. The first one, I realized what I didn't want. The second one, I realized, yeah, I want that, but not that. You know, but I'm just saying, though, but it would be easy for me to give up. I'm single, Karen, if you didn't know. I have no idea where that came from. Take that off that tape, man. I'm out of there, ain't I? I told you I ain't all there yet. Yeah. Golly, I can't believe I just said that. Amen. You know, but really, sometimes God's word goes against human logic. It does. It just goes against logic, man. And so what happened was Peter decided, you know what? I'm going to trust God. The Bible says to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on what? Your own understanding. Think about what that says. He says, trust in me with all your heart. Don't lean on what this is telling you. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge me, and you know what I'll do? I'll direct your path. Man, that's hard sometimes, fellas. It's hard to trust God sometimes. When I want to be God sometimes. I want to do it myself. And God says, you can do it yourself if you want and get the consequences of it again, or you can just trust me. I know what I'm doing. You know what? Just think if my mom and dad ever gave up on me. I wouldn't be doing this today if they would have gave up on me. But they kept casting it one more time. One more time. I'm gonna visit him one more time. I'm going to encourage him one more time. I'm going to pray for him one more time. Because the Bible says the prayers of the righteous man availeth much. My dad and my mom knew their prayer was going to be answered eventually. Amen? Some of us out there need to cast that net one more time. Don't give up. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Galatians 6:9 says that. It says you'll reap a harvest if you don't give up. Listen to what that said. Don't grow weary in well-doing. You'll reap a harvest if you don't give up. Amen. Cast it one more time. So what happened when you cast it? Doug, push that up some, can you? Keep going. So he said, lay down in the deep. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we toiled all night long and caught nothing. Nevertheless, as your word, we're going to let down the nets. And when he had done this, they, keep going, Doug, caught such a great number of fish that their nets were breaking. So they signaled their partners in another boat and came to help them. And when they came and filled both boats, and when they began to sink, Simon Peter saw it. He fell down and he cried. And he said, Master, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. You know what happened? When they trusted God, you know what happened? God was able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that they asked or imagined. He did more than they ever could imagine they could do. Amen? So what was God teaching them? What was that, Karen? Trusting him? I think he was teaching them he was the God of the impossible. He could have been teaching them that, right? He could have been teaching them that he has the power over creation. He has the power over animal life. He could have been teaching them that. But I think Karen's right. You know what I think God was teaching them from the boat? He was teaching them that no matter how bad it looks, no matter what your mind tells you, no matter what your past experiences tell you, my word can be trusted. My word can be trusted. He was saying, man, if you will just trust me and you will put into action what I say, some things are going to happen in your life. They're going to astonish you. Amen? He said, man, if you will just put my word into action, my word will not return to me void, but it'll prosper in the thing that I sent it. He said, man, they were just, come on. You need some attention, George?
Come on.
I thought you needed somebody. Amen? But that's what he said. Think about that. Man, they took in, now listen, this is amazing here. They took in so much. Guess what they had to do? They had to get another boat. And so you know what happened? They were so blessed. Guess what happened? They started to bless other people. Amen? Think about that. One man's obedience to the word turned out to bless a whole bunch of people. So in other words, God tells me, he said, look, I not only want to change your life, I want to bless you. You know why, Fred Ortiz? So you can be a blessing to somebody else. That's what he wants to do. The so many fish, they had to get another boat to come help them. Amen? And then you know what happened? Peter fell down. He said, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Was Peter any more sinful then when he said that than when God blessed him? He realized it. You know what? I'm wearing white tennis shoes if y'all can't tell. Y'all see them? And they look white right now. They look white because it's kind of dim in here. But I guarantee you, if we went in that room in there and you turned that big old light on and you looked at them, guess what you would see? All kinds of imperfections. Stains in them, coffee stains in them. They wouldn't look as clean as they do right now. You know why? Because the closer they got to the light, the more imperfection they seen. And every time we get closer to God, what happens is the more of us we see and the more of Him we see. So a lot of times what happens is when we start to grow closer to God, we might think we're going backwards, but we're really not. God's just showing us who we really are and who He really is. And that's what happened. Peter started to see from who he was. He said, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. What he did was the light of God was shined on him. Amen? Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Jesus said, yeah, you are. Get out of here, Peter. See if you can walk on water now, Peter. That ain't what he said. See if you can get out the boat now, you sinful thing, you. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. You know what? God blessed him in his sinfulness. God blessed him just the way he was, because he was obedient to the word of God. Sometimes we think we got to be perfect for God to bless us, and we don't. We don't have to think about that, though. We don't have to be. Man, Peter was as sinful then as he was when God blessed him. The difference was Peter was obedient to what God said. He confessed it. Man, think about that. If God was looking for us to be perfect, to bless us, none of us would have nothing. We'd all be broke jokes. God doesn't go off our perfection. He goes off the perfection of Christ. Amen? Think about that. Man, when I was reading that earlier today, and Peter said that, I was looking back, and I said, God, he was the same person then as he is now. And you still blessed him. See, because he was obedient to what I said. Amen? I'm telling you, a lot of blessings in our life are contingent on our obedience to God's commandments. We got to ask ourselves, God, am I being obedient to what you say? You know, in the garden, when God told them don't eat of the tree, God wasn't trying to restrict them. God was trying to free them. The Bible says if we continue to look in the perfect law that gives freedom, James calls this a book of freedom. God's word isn't to restrict us, but God's word is to free us. It's to free us. When we get outside of God's will is when we get into bondage. But when we follow God, we stay free. We stay free. Man, if we could always just stay in the center of God's will, our life would be so blessed. The problem is we step out of the will, we step back into the will. We step out, we act like we're dancing with God. I know I do. I don't know about y'all. I ain't got this thing down yet. I'm trying. I'm trying hard every day, but I'm not there yet. Amen? So what happened was he said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. No glasses. Damn, I'm in bad shape. I told y'all. All right. So look, I want to keep going. I'm almost done. I ain't got much left. He says, So Simon said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. And when he and all were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish which they had taken. So also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. You know what Jesus just did? He changed the whole direction of Peter's life. The next verse says, they forsook all and followed Jesus. You know what they just did? They just left behind them the biggest catch they'd ever had in their life. They just, you know, think about that. Fish is money back then. Fish was money. And they just took in the largest amount of money they'd ever taken in, and they just left it. It said they forsook all and they followed Jesus. You know why? Because they realized he had the answer to life. He had what they'd been looking for all along. And they were willing to forsake everything they had to follow him. Amen? Think about that. It says they forsook all and followed Jesus. What's keeping me from forsaking everything and following Jesus? I have to ask myself that. What am I holding on still to? What am I still holding on to? Why not? I know this is what God created me to do right here. I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing. There's no doubt in my mind. But why do I still want to? I still want to go plant flowers. Am I not trusting him to forsake all that and just follow him? What are you holding on to where you're not forsaking everything for Jesus? Is there something you're holding on to? You know what keeps me holding on? Fear. He told Peter, don't be afraid. Fear keeps me from really stepping out and forsaking all and saying, you know what, God, I'm giving it my all. I'm going all in with you, God. I'm going all in with you. I'm going to follow you no matter where it takes me. I'm going to follow you. Do you know why I can follow God? Because God says, I know the plan I have for you, declares the Lord. And it's a plan to prosper you and not to harm you. A plan to give you a hope and a future. God says, I've got a plan for you, and I promise you, it's not going to harm you, but it's going to prosper you. Think about what he says right there. He not only says, I got a plan, but then he backs it up and says, hey, it ain't going to harm you, man. It's going to prosper you. You know what happened? This guy believed God's word. He put God's word into action in his life. And God did the miraculous. And he was astonished by it. And he was willing to let go of everything and follow Jesus. Tonight, before I close, I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'm going to ask myself, first and foremost, because anytime I preach, I'm preaching at myself. And I know that. I've got to always look in the mirror and check myself. I have to. I'm going to ask myself, am I willing to forsake all for Jesus? Am I really willing to do this God thing? Just not on Sundays and Wednesdays. Am I really willing to give all I got to Jesus? Because he's got the answer to my life. He's got the answer to the problem I can't solve on my own. Am I willing to give everything I got to Jesus and follow him? I'm talking to y'all in the booth up there too. Are you willing to let go of everything and follow Jesus? Because I'm going to tell you something. God wants to move, and I know he does in these last days, but he needs some people he can move through. I really believe this church is about to explode. I believe that with all my heart, that this church is about to explode, and we're about to have hundreds of new people come in here. And are we willing to sacrifice everything for the kingdom of God so the kingdom can grow? Are we willing, church? That's all I'm asking. Am I willing? Am I willing to lay it down and say, okay, Lord, I need to be here on Monday mornings. I need to be in here interceding on Monday mornings because I don't come. I'm the first to admit I don't make it. I don't make it on Monday mornings when I have no excuse not to make it on Monday mornings. Am I willing to intercede for Pastor Brad, for God to continue to give him wisdom every day? And I'm talking to me. I'm guilty. I know I'm guilty. Have I been giving it everything? No, I haven't. I have not forsaken all. But if I want to be astonished and I want to see God to continue to do miraculous things in my life, God's called me to forsake all. To forsake everything for him. The Bible says there's nobody that's left mother, brother, sister, daughter, house, lands for me and for my kingdom that will not receive 100 times in this life and the life to come. He's not telling you to forget about them, but don't put them before you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you tonight, Lord God. God, I'm guilty. I'm guilty, Lord God. And I know I am. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, for this congregation. Lord God, I pray for myself that, Lord, you would give us the willingness and the obedience to forsake all for you. Whatever that looks like, God, I don't even really know at times what forsaking everything looks like. But Lord, show us what it looks like to forsake all for you, Lord God. Lord, help us to follow you, Lord God, in all things. Help us to trust you when it doesn't make any sense. Help us to trust you, God. Help us to just surrender it all to you, God. Lord, I know everybody in this room is called by you and called by your name. I know this, Lord God. And Lord, I know you have something special for all of us. So, Lord, I'm going to be the first to raise my hand, Lord God. I'm willing to forsake all tonight. Lord, I just make a commitment to you to forsake all to you, Lord God. And if you're willing to make a commitment to God to forsake all, I ask you to raise your hand tonight, a show of faith. Are you willing to forsake everything for Jesus tonight? Lord God, those of us that have already forsaken all, praise the Lord. But those that have raised their hands tonight, Lord God, I pray you show them and show me what it means to forsake all for you. Put a hunger and a thirst in us, Lord God, for you above everything else. Please put that hunger in us, God. And Lord, I thank you for this. I thank you for this church. Holy Spirit, I ask that you fill us. Lord, I know we're already sealed by you, Holy Spirit, but I ask that you fill us with your Spirit. I pray you help us be controlled by your Spirit, Lord God. Lord, we need you. And Lord, you told me if we'd ask, we'd receive. If we'd seek, we'd find. If we knock, the door would be opened. You said everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and him who knocks, the door would be opened. That's your word, Jesus. That's not my word, that's your word. And you told me your word would not return void. So, Lord, we pray this right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would fill us. Lord God, that you would help us find what we're looking for in you and you alone. Show us what it means to forsake all for you, Lord God. And, Lord, we thank you for this, and we praise you, Jesus. And just one more prayer. If anybody in here does not know Jesus, you have not confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You don't know today if you died where you'd go. If there's anybody in here today and you got enough in you to say, I don't know, raise your hand and let us pray for you today. Anybody in here not accepted Jesus? Amen. I thank you, Father, that everybody in this room is saved, Lord God. I thank you for it, Lord God. And Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for everything you do, Lord God. Thank you for your love. Lord, we just agree and we all said, amen. Y'all can say it louder now. Say, amen.